Hello again. Welcome back. We're here with another episode coming to you late night on this Monday. Super excited that I've got not one, but two guests with me tonight. And this will be the first episode out of our 10th this year. I can't believe it's already been 10. It's crazy. But we've got two guests with me tonight, and they're coming from two different teams. It's the first time we've got two different managers on the call. I've got my man, Hanny Han, Haniel, JP, the Prophet, coming in. So I'm super, super excited and looking forward to talking to these guys about their teams and basically hearing the story of the season so far. We've got one guy in the playoffs and one guy pretty much boosting them right up there. A little shake and bake action. I love that. Mm-hmm. Did you guys plan that out? Like, Johnny, JP, are you texting Haniel? Like, hey, man, you got to win this week?
To be honest with you, I didn't even realize I was still in the running. I thought it was by division, so I was like, "Oh, if Benny wins, then I'm fucked." But then I was like, I checked this morning. I was like, "Oh, Daniel really did me a solid there." Like,
yeah, it ended up going like perfectly your way. I know I talked about it with Garrett a little bit last week, and we were wondering how it's going to shake out. And it ended up being, you know, it ended up working out the way that it should have worked out in the end. So we've got four teams in the East. JP, you get in there in that last spot, and the Greek Freak with Kutz's team, his team is taking a big skid to finish the year. Let's start the podcast the way we usually start it. Haniel, let's start with you. Talk to me about the story of your team this year. I know that you were a very, very last minute ad. I can't even imagine what your mindset was being asked to do a fantasy league and then realizing, like, holy shit, like, this is a for real competitive league. So talk me through the story of the season and how you did.
Well, first of all, Flesh, you know, thank you for, you know, having me on. It's an honor. You know, I know the NBA boys, this tradition has been going on for years. And, you know, when you call my name, I said, you know what, I gotta, you know, step into the plate. Cause for me personally, this is the first time in a couple of years that I did a fantasy team. So I said, you know, why not? I was actually, you know, driving, you know, doing, I think it was like Christmas shopping or something like that. And then like Benny hit me up, he said, yo, you want to do it? And I said, you know what, why not? So I you know, I couldn't, you know, resist that, you know, that offer. Mm-hmm. But the main story of my team, definitely getting familiar with the whole fantasy setup. Initially, I think what sets the NBA, you know, differently from any other, you know, sport, if you do fantasy, is consistency. You know, you look at like the NFL where like it's like once a week, you know what I mean? But in the NBA, it's a daily thing. And that's the one thing that was kind of like hard for me, whether or not you're like watching on a daily basis, but consistency, just like every day setting, you know, a certain time, like I got to set my lineups. And that was like the biggest thing for me. And then just looking out for like waiver wires and looking out for different moves and everything like that. But I think as I went on, you know, during the year, I definitely was more comfortable, and obviously I have a lot of work, you know, to do going forward, and hopefully next year, you know, things will be a little different. But definitely just being more aware of the league. I don't think I've been in more tune in the league than any other year. It's been a while. So I think this fantasy league has definitely helped me to kind of be more in tune and whatnot. So it can be competitive, man, but hey, it's all, you know, good. It's all good stuff. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and it was a little bit of like a trial by fire for you, realizing how competitive it was. And
then,
you know, you get thrown into a draft that night and you realize it's this.
Right. And even like the mock, not even getting a chance, you know, to do a mock draft and anything like that. So that's definitely something I definitely want to keep in mind, like going forward. I think the mock drafts will, obviously you're not necessarily looking at like the exact picks of what players you'll be getting, but at least getting a feel for the format. And obviously this league has different, you know what I mean? Like rules and settings. So
sure.
At least I get a feel for that and kind of going through a couple mock drafts. So like next year I'll be able to like have more time to, you know, set myself up. But you know what, like you said, like trial by fire, you know, you learn from your mistakes and whatnot, but I'll be ready when that time comes next year again. But it's there great.
I love to hear that. That's a great attitude. Sir. Mm-hmm. Now talk to me a little bit, because you said you haven't been in a fantasy league in a while.
Right.
What fantasy leagues were you in previously? Was it just football? Was it like a basketball points league? How did that work out?
It was a couple years ago. I believe it was 3 years ago. It was a basketball setup like NBA. But it wasn't anything like this where it was like by categories and whatnot. I believe it was just like points.
Yeah.
So this was definitely a lot more like insightful and not really looking at like one stat, which is what you tend to do. You're just like, all right, like let's only look at points. But I think that I really like the setup because you're looking holistically and the fact that you're not saying like, all right, like who's going to like score the most. So you got to be strategic, especially when in the draft board and something I wasn't really aware of when I was drafting. Mm-hmm. All right, I got a player who can score this amount of points, but now I need a big man who can, you know, get me some points and then, you know, also give me some rebounds. And I need like this forward who can score, but kind of do both of like rebound assistance. So it's like, it's more strategy. It's more like complex and everything like that. So that's why I really like this approach. And I don't think I've had this kind of like interface in terms of different stats before. So it was pretty cool to, you know, see something a little different. You know what I mean? So
yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, it's fun with fantasy basketball, especially in a categories league, because there's much that you can absorb and there's so much that you need to look into on a daily basis and keep up with in terms of players on the waiver wire or even just categories in general and how teams did the night before. And I think you like overall, you had a good year. You fought through a lot of adversity. You didn't start out so hot, but I mean, I think that was pretty clear just because of the draft room and not having the experience of previous seasons, but you weathered the storm really well, Daniel. And I was impressed that you actually, you know, your team has a better record than I do right now.
Surprise. I mean, I ain't gonna hold you. I slipped up a couple of times, but yeah, it's a learning experience. You know what I mean?
So. Yeah, absolutely. So JP, now turning the page to you and your team, you've got a very, very exciting club and interesting to look at because you've got your first rounder, Anthony Davis, like out for who knows how long. Talk to me about the story of your team so far this year.
Oh man. It's been, I mean, it was kind of weird. Like this year, I really haven't watched like any games. I think I've watched like two games so far. I was really kind of just, I like going like Reddit, like fantasy basketball to like make all my moves basically.
Nice.
So I've been relying on a bunch of like people on Reddit to basically run my team for me. It's been up and down. You know, there's some guys that get hyped up that don't end up panning out, and then there's some guys that, you know, have a lot of hype and like KPJ, you know, that end up panning out. I mean, it's been I've been kind of flying blind for part of the season, but I think it's worked out like better than I thought probably.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely hurts to have Anthony Davis go down for this amount of time. And I know that's not easy to deal with. Like that would hurt any fantasy team really. So you've had more experience and you've actually found success in this league in previous seasons. So talk to me about how you weathered that storm. Was it just, you know, using Reddit as your disposal there?
It helped, help getting KPJ. Norman Powell has been going off lately.
Oh, he's unbelievable.
Yeah, he's the glue guy that really is holding my team together at this point. I don't know when AD went down, I was almost ready to just call it quits, you know, and I've just kind of just hung in there just by the grace of the fantasy gods, man.
Yeah, and you know the fantasy gods blessed you this season, that's for sure.
Yeah. they kind of screwed me last year, so I mean I feel like I was due for something.
Yeah, that's true, you were due. And talk to me a little bit more, John, about maybe a player this year. You touched on KPJ, you touched on Norman Powell. Anybody else on your team that was like a big surprise for you? You weren't planning for them to have this great of a year. And on the flip side, what's a player that maybe like hasn't really panned out no matter the hype?
Oof. I mean, I could go on players that haven't panned out, Fletch. I could spend another hour on this podcast talking about players that haven't panned out. I mean, where do I start? I have Oubre, you know, who's been, you know, he's coming back a little bit, but he has been a dumpster fire. I have Fournier, who's apparently made of glass and can't play more than two games in a row without getting hurt. I have to go through the roster here, man. I mean, it's just Carter Jr. has been terrible. Kawhi has been good. I will give Kawhi a lot of credit. I drafted him thinking that he was going to sit out a lot of back-to-backs and kind of be like a, you know, a big hit or miss player, but he's played like 90% of the game so far. So all credit to Kawhi.
Yeah, he's been awesome. He's even the current number one small forward, power forward in ESPN right now. So he's had a great year. I think Ben Simmons has had a solid year, no matter what people say about him. I think he's been all right.
He's had his moments. He's been okay.
And how do you feel about Aaron Gordon recently with the news asking for a trade, wants to get out of Orlando? I mean, it's going to have a small effect for you if they do move him, because it would be 1 week of the regular season, and then you've got however many weeks of the postseason, at least two. You know, how much of an impact could him moving to a new team be for your squad?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like it depends where they move him, you know. I think I haven't really seen a whole lot on it, but I think, weren't they talking Houston or something, was one of the destinations, Houston, Minnesota. So, I mean, if he goes to one of those, like, shitty teams, I would be, you know, I think that could be good for him. You know, after he had that, I saw he had that 38-point out-of-nowhere game a couple games ago. So, yeah, I mean, it would be cool if he went to, like, an even shittier team. But, you know, if he ends up going to, like, I don't even know if, like, if Boston was, like, on the radar for him. But if he ends up going to Boston, then he's going to be kind of worthless.
Yeah, it'll be interesting how that plays out. Like, yeah, if he goes to a shitty team and he has a big role, then he'll be great. You know, he'll get just as much as he does in Orlando. But if he goes to a better team, well, maybe he'll be the third, the fourth, maybe even the fifth option.
And, yeah.
His stats will go down a little bit. So that's definitely something to keep an eye on. I want to change gears and go back to Haniel. Now, Haniel, tell me about someone on your team that you're confident about this year as a long-term improvement next year and even further.
All right. So for me, I would definitely say Josh Hart, surprisingly. I think he was one of the players on my team who surprised me because, you know, that trade and coming to the Pelicans and everything like that. Especially as a, you know, shooting guard, small forward, averaging 7 rebounds a game. It kind of just to show how much positionless basketball has been like shown like in the league in the recent years due to, you know, several reasons. You know, I pointed to Steph Curry. I think he's definitely with, you know, the three point game, like being expounded and everything like that. But he puts it all on the floor and everything like that. And I think that he's a player that I could like count on, even though he won't provide you as many points, but you know that, you know, based on the amount of rebounds, like you wouldn't expect someone, you know, coming off the bench like that to put up, you know, that much in like stats in terms of like rebounds. And like, he'll give you a night or two where he'll give you like a couple assists and, you know, like have like a double double and not, but definitely him. I would also say Zion Williamson, more so than Josh Hart. I know there's a lot of skepticism with him last year, you know, because of his injury and everything like that. You know, even from Duke back in 2019, when Duke lost, and I believe it was a Sweet 16, people were saying, well, he's not going to be like a long-term player. He's going to start to get injured. And then the next thing was, you know, like him, like his weight, like he's, this guy is like 6'7", but he's like, he's just massive, you know what I mean? And still able to run the floor, but just like the weight, you know, in terms of like a physicality standpoint, like a PT standpoint, he's just like, there's only so much that your body can take when you're on your joints, you know what I mean? So the fact that he, you know, he lost some weight and was able to get out there and, you know, making his first All-Star, you know what I mean? That's very, very promising. I think that he has a lot of improvement. A lot of improvements to make. He's obviously like a big inside guy. His field goal percentage is stupid, you know. It's unbelievable. And I think he's one of the reasons why, going back to the previous point that you were saying, in terms of story of my team is efficiency, just him. I think he definitely has helped my overall like field goal percentage. So I do think that Zion was a power move. I was like a little skeptical at first when I picked him up. I believe it was in the second round that I picked him up. But you know what? He's definitely has gone the way, and he's going to keep getting better, keep working on himself, and keep getting experience. And he's going to expand his game beyond like the point, like the paint. And, you know, his shooting game is going to come up, and he's just over time, it's just going to get better and better. So,
yeah,
definitely see him as like a long-term like investment.
For sure. I couldn't agree more with those two picks. While you were talking, I was looking at Josh Hart, and you brought up a really good point. I mean, the guy gets rebounds like crazy, especially for a guard. I mean, I'm looking at his past games, 24 minutes, 9 points, but he had 8 boards. 26 minutes, 13 boards. Like 24 minutes, 7 boards. So like even on the nights when he's not getting 30 to 40 minutes, he's still going to get a ton of rebounds for you and maybe even get you a double-double, which is wild for someone that's coming off the bench. So I think if he can continue to get better and find a starting spot on a team and solidify himself, he could be a really good pickup as a late-round guy. Sure. And then Zion, obviously, you know, the ceiling is the roof for Zion. Oh, yeah. Like, he's going to be a second, maybe even a first-round pick next year.
Oh, yeah.
Dude shoots, like you said, like, 61% from the field on the season. That's insane. And he shoots well from the line too. Over the season, he shot about 70%, but in this past week, he shot 80%. So he's shown some room for improvement there. And I mean, the defensive stats will come as he gets better. He gets rebounds. Zion's a beast, man. He's crazy. Right. That was a great pick. Daniel, continuing with you, let's talk through some of your waiver strategy that you had this year. Like, what did you look at? How did you choose some players over others, especially as a new guy and a rookie in the league? I'm interested to hear how you started off the season and then maybe how you've adapted as we've gone through.
Right. So for the first couple of weeks with me, you know, adjusting to the league format, everything like that, I was kind of coasting and not really in tune as I should have been. But now I feel like my strategy has been, it's been like a day by day thing where, okay, like I'll go through a day where I'm, you know, I'm down like a couple rebounds or I'm down a couple assists. So then I'll have like two or three players that I'll like swing and drop in and just add like based off of what they've, you know, previously done in the past couple games. Like, all right, I'm down a rebound, so I'll drop this guard coming off the bench and I'll try to pick up this big man who will try to pick up some rebounds for me. And then if they do okay, you know, I'll keep them for a little bit. If not, I'll drop them for another set that I'm kind of low on. So that's kind of like my thing, you know what I mean? And it's definitely going to change going forward, but at least it's a strategy. And I also noticed that at one point during the season, I believe it was like in the first couple of weeks, I think I was in one of the people in the league that just didn't really do as many moves. So that definitely prompted me to kind of do that. And I think you're one of the people that you know, do the most. So, and you know what I mean? I'm sure, like, I mean, you got to, man. Like, I was on a losing streak and I started doing that and it definitely helped.
Yeah. You know
what I mean? So
especially at the end of the week, when you need stats in certain categories, just adding a couple of players to try to maximize the minutes of your squad is the way to go. Overmanage like I do sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But it also can come back to hurt you because say if you want to go after that stat, but then that big man may not, you know, perform well on the free throw line. So that could, you know, kind of hurt you in some ways, like putting other statistics down. So you got to really be like strategic in that kind of way. You know what I mean? So,
yeah, totally agree. John, what about you? What's your waiver strategy pickup situation this year? How did you work it for your team?
Yeah. I mean, I really feel like for my waiver strategy, I try to get defensive guys. That was like a stat. Even when I was drafting, I tried to focus on steals and blocks with a lot of the guys I picked. And I feel like most waiver wire guys you get aren't going to give you much by way of scoring. So I really try and pick up guys that can like give me a couple extra steals, a couple extra blocks, you know, or if there's like a really like trendy pickup, then I'll try them out.
It's so crazy, man, because you'll be watching and you'll see this guy, you know, just coming off the bench, like having a crazy game, and they're already off like the player list. So you gotta be
you gotta be
quick with it, you know. Like,
it's crazy.
Yeah. If you see somebody you want, you better grab him because someone else is gonna get him.
Yeah. Well, like even with like I think I had D'Anthony Melton for like his worst two games of the season or something.
He's balling.
Yeah, now he's just going off. I was like, balling. I mean, it's like it's impossible to figure out when these guys are going to get hot.
Yeah, it is. It's tough to judge sometimes. Ooh, this is a unplanned question. Yeah. I'm looking at the recent activity right now. Blake Griffin dropped Blake Griffin from roster. Either you guys taking Blake Griffin and taking a flyer here.
Oh, man. I'm too close to the playoffs to be making moves like that, Fletch.
I don't blame you at all.
I mean, it don't matter for me, honestly, but I'll pass on him.
Even
I'll,
still.
I'll pass on him, yeah.
You know what?
He's going to
coming from a Nets fan.
Yeah, he's going to end up having one just weird, like where he drops 30 out of nowhere. And then the rest of the season, he's just terrible.
It's like, yeah, consistent. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
One, Fletcher, I want to go back to what you were saying. Who else do I see as a long-term investment? I'm just glancing. Dante DiVincenzo, another guy for Villanova. I don't know if it's something about like Jay Wright. Mm-hmm. And I know that's our rival school and everything like that. But you just have to respect his like coaching style and everything like that. He's just – initially like coming into the league known as a really big like defensive player, but I feel like he's also like developed his like offensive game.
Oh, for sure.
So I definitely think he's like a guy to keep an eye out like long term wise. You know, ever since he's been in the starting lineup, he's kind of just like been real scrappy and just kind of like developing there too. So
yeah, I think that's a good pick as well.
We gotta,
yeah, the big ragu, Dante's Inferno. He's having a good year as well. He's another one of those guards that just gets a lot of rebounds. I'm looking at his stats right now. I mean, he had 10 boards with 21 minutes right now. Or he might still be playing right now. It looks like they're in progress. But the dude gets a lot of boards, which is crazy. So, Haniel, speaking of the draft, like, what was it like having to prepare for a draft that night? And then next year, thinking ahead a little bit, do you think that having more time will help you more in the end? I know it kind of seems like it would, but
right.
You know, it could. It honestly, more time could hurt you. I put in a whole effort for an entire spreadsheet, and it didn't really work out that well. So, do you think that having this time and putting this on the calendar for next year will help you out?
For sure. I was overhearing Chokan in one of his earlier podcasts of how he sets up the spreadsheet and that. You know, you see how that like translates it to him like having success, although he's been doing this for a while. I do think having like preparation, beforehand, you know, definitely helps out. At least now, like you'd be able to like categorize, like instead of doing everything in your head, like, all right, like I'm looking for a guy that's going to put up points. All right, next round, I'm going to look for a guy that's going to give me a mix of like rebounds and like blocks. You know what I mean? But so now you've got everything like written down on this chart. And you could just like kind of cycle through and like add players to your watch list. And even if you don't get that player, you have like other options and everything like that. So at least having like a better plan, because I kind of just was like going through it. Not necessarily I mean, I was kind of telling myself like I'm going to try to look for players for certain categories, but it goes much deeper than like individual categories, because you want to kind of like, in my standpoint, like having a player like, all right, they're really known for like putting up a lot of points, but maybe they might, you know, give me some assists, like average me a double double and everything like that. So that's kind of hard to do in your head, whereas if you've got like that spreadsheet in front of you, you could just like, all right, I'm gonna add all these players here in this category that can give me a bulk of these two stats, and then a bunch of players that can give me, you know, categories and like, or give me more like points and like and whatnot. So it's definitely a lot of like strategy and everything like that, and I definitely would feel like preparing beforehand would be like pretty good.
It
also was exciting, you know, like I said, first time in a while that I was like doing fantasy and everything like that. So you know, beforehand I was ready to, you know, to jump right into it, even though I didn't really have that time to prepare. You went through your mistakes and you take that and you keep going. So and I also saw it as an opportunity to be more in tune with the league and kind of keep up with like certain things, like the insides, because you always have those nights. There's every single night, there's a known, I don't want to say no name, but a player less on the radar that has like an explosive night and everything like that. So that, you know, take that and just like, all right, like I'm going to put that on my team and kind of like diversify a little bit. You know, it's,
Yeah,
it's kind of like the stock market a little bit. You know, you can't always look at the big companies. There's always these little companies that'll just like blossom, you know, out of nowhere. But you got to kind of see like some patterns here and there, like what potential do they have in this certain team with this, you know, certain group. So,
yeah, I totally agree. It's interesting. You get a whole new perspective on the NBA as a whole. I'm with you, John, on, you know, John, you said that you haven't watched too many games this year, and I'm not really big on watching games either. Like, I'll throw a game on if it's a Celtics Lakers matchup right now, like, cool. I'll have it on and throw it in the background and then pay attention for the last like 5 minutes or so. Right. Right. Fantasy, like playing it this year, especially, I feel like I know more of the rosters and have a feel for the league as a whole better than any past year, like since I like played 2K. I haven't played 2K in like religiously in like a while. So it's interesting just how much information there is out there for you to absorb. And I think the competitive level of the league just raises that even more so.
Sure.
So John, I'm going to send you over one more question before we get on the way with going over the matchups for the week. John, you've got 1 week left, man. You pretty much the most important matchup of the season. You're playing John and Mark, and you're in the playoffs right now. And you know, you win and you're in, and you're hoping that Coots loses if you don't win.
Yeah.
What's your strategy this week? And is there anything that you're looking out for specifically to help you out?
Oh man. I mean, I like my team right now, honestly. I was looking today, earlier today, and I was trying to see who I would like drop to like to stream somebody, and I was like, I think it's pretty, they're pretty solid. I still gotta I think I have Fournier still on my IR, so I gotta move him back on. But yeah, I mean, I think it's really just riding it out and just hoping for the best. I mean, I feel like I've gotten screwed on field goal percentage the last couple of weeks, so I mean, I feel like if I can get field goal percentage, then usually my steals and everything else kind of evens out. It's just getting one of either free throw or field goal. But yeah, I mean, we'll see what happens, man.
Yeah, absolutely. You make a good point there. Like field goal percentage, I think you've got a good matchup there with John and Mark, honestly. Their team, I mean, historically, haven't been the best at field goal percentage. Like looking in past weeks, last week they were eighth, week before that they were sixth, and then this past week they were sixth in the league. So like they're like average, maybe like a little higher than average shooting team. It's definitely one that you can beat. Let's see, let's look at their squad a little bit. Is there anyone that is down with injury or isn't playing as much as they usually would?
Yeah,
let's take a look.
They got TJ Warren out.
Oh, Giannis didn't play today. That's nice.
Oh, that's big.
Yeah, that's really nice.
That's big. You're missing out on.
I had Brogdon out today, which hurts me. Brogdon and KPJ both out. So,
Brogdon's been awesome.
Yeah, he's been good. I would definitely draft him again in the future. They look like they're pretty much full strength. Hopefully Giannis can miss one or two games, but yeah, man. I mean, it's just gotta pray to the fantasy gods that I can pull through this week. Although I think Coots has a tough matchup. I think he plays Shokan, which is that's a tough matchup.
So. Yeah, that's probably the toughest matchup you can get. That's bad. Yeah. That's tough luck. Yeah, so you just gotta, you know, play as best as you can and root for Shokan at the same time.
Yeah, yeah.
I'd love to see it scoot in there as the last spot in the playoffs.
That's what I wanted to ask you, Fletch. Was that that dive your team took this last week? Was that just for the narrative effect of having me play in, or was that calculated at all?
It might have been a little bit calculated. I'll be honest. I'm not going to lie to you guys.
All right.
John, I always want to see, you know, I always want to see my friend succeed. And if there was a chance to allow my friend to succeed, and I took it. So, yeah. Definitely missed a few players this week and moving him off my bench, but oh well, such is life.
Yeah, what can you do? I appreciate it, Fletch.
Of course, man. So moving forward here, that's actually a perfect transition to talk about our matchups of the week and go through everything that went down. John, starting with us, man, you took the win 5-4. Pretty, you know, solid win across the board. You had five strong categories that were not moving. Talk to me, you know, what was it like on your side of the fence?
Yeah, I mean, it was a, you know, luckily, you know, pretty stress-free win, you know?
Yeah. You don't get those a lot.
Yeah. I had to sweat it out a little bit on, you know, cause like I said, I feel like my field goal percentage really keeps letting me down. So I had to sweat it out on rebounds a little bit, but, yeah, you know, pulled through, you know, everybody did their role.
Mm-hmm. I think going with your talking about field goal percentage, like I'm looking at your team now and how they did from this past week, no one shot under 40%. Dennis Schroeder was your lowest and he was 40 exactly. Mm-hmm. But you also don't have that many centers. You literally have two centers. It's Wendell Carter Jr. and Daniel Tice.
Yeah.
And not having centers on your team is going to lower your field goal percentage. Like, yeah. Are you playing into that with your team? Are you choosing to not go with centers in order to get other categories?
I mean, I was trying to go with high percentage guards. I mean, that was almost. I guess if I had a strategy at the start of the season, that was kind of my strategy. And yeah, it hasn't panned out great. And yeah, when I was drafting, I just really didn't get any of the centers I was looking for. So, I mean, people like Simmons, I feel like are theoretically should help my field goal percentage, but that hasn't always worked.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, especially not from the free throw line.
Yeah. Well, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Well, I mean, John, you took the win, like I said, pretty handily. You did do really well in three categories. You were top five in the league in 3 points made, assists, and steals. So definitely look to continue those strong as you go into a tough week against John and Mark. My pick for your MVP of the week was, of course, Brago. Shooting 53% from the field, 78% from the line. He hit 14 threes, 19 boards, 21 assists, and 87 points. So solid win for him and solid win for your team, who don't have, like, other than Kawhi, I say you guys don't really have that one star player like every other.
It's a very well-balanced team, man.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think Barton played well. I know he's been playing well recently, so I've been happy. Like, he was like, I think it was my last pick of the draft, and I've just held on to him all season. He's been pretty good, like, especially steals wise. I think he gets a decent amount of steals.
Yeah. And it's worked in his favor with the injuries in Denver and, you know, DJ being out with COVID for so long. Will Barton's been able to get a lot of minutes that, you know, it wasn't really sure that he was going to get. So I was looking at him for the MVP the week too. He had a solid outing.
Yeah. No, he's good. I've been happy with him.
Yeah, for sure. Moving right along, next matchup was Bilu and Garrett. I talked to Garrett a little bit earlier today, and he was really trying to get the W, but Bilu pulled it out in the end, and Bilu finishes with a 5-7 record. Solid win for him. I'd say Bilu had a so-so season, but, I mean, he still has a solid squad. And Luka, oh, my God, Luka Doncic. The kid just goes off.
Well, he goes off, man. Yeah, they had a big neck-to-neck matchup. I respect Bilu on his game with fantasy. He's always on the move. He's always, you know, making pickups. So definitely know he's on the eye on certain things. But back you were saying about Luka, he's been just unbelievable this season, man. Like, he's one of those players that just has, you know, that European style of just having those fundamentals down to the point that he can just be comfortable like anywhere. He can just pull up like Steph Curry or just go on the inside and just, you know, do what he's got to do. You know what I mean? So, that's a big dub for him.
Yeah. He gets a little bit of everything. And I think Luka is definitely one of those that could be the number one pick next year. But to talk about some of the stats from this week, I mean, he played 150 minutes, shot 54%, 70% from the line, which, you know, could be better, but we've seen better weeks from him. He made 22 threes, 32 boards, and 38 assists with 142 points. Just gets you a little bit of everything. Solid win, and great week for Luka. After that, we have probably, I'd say, the matchup of the week. We had Blake Griffin, Nick Coppa's team, and Ian's team in Mamu Mentality. And Ian takes the win here. Ends Coppa's streak.
Ends a streak, yep.
And Ian takes it pretty handily. I mean, 6-3. And I definitely know that Ian's looking to make a run at the championship here. He's got a really, really good team.
His team's solid. I mean, Williams has been good. He's been stealing Tice's minutes.
You look at a guy like Dame Lillard, who's one of the most underrated players in the league, who's always consistently, you know, dropping numbers. Looking at his team, I do that trade that we made earlier in the season for Andrew Wiggins. I do kind of like, looking back, like, he's definitely has gone off for him. That's one player that I think long term wise, I think, is, you know, stepped up. Initially, when he first came into the league, you know, there was some skepticism, but I definitely feel like he's filling that role on that Golden State roster. Although, you know, Golden State, they're not where they were like 5 years ago, but I do think that as a player, he's definitely improved in terms of like his shooting percentage and everything like that. So,
yeah, totally agree. He's had a pretty solid year, and he had a good week too. I mean, he hit 14 threes. He's not really known as being a shooter, but Golden State, I guess everyone learns how to shoot.
Of course, when you're around Steph Curry.
Exactly.
You just want to chuck up everything.
Yeah. And, yeah, all across the board, Ian had lots of solid play. I was looking at Julius Randle for MVP of the week, but he didn't really shoot so well from the field, so I didn't pick him. And I decided to go with Lillard. 54% from the field, 100% from the line. He shot 36 free throws and made all of them. That's insane.
Yeah. Yes.
He also hit 16 threes, 136 points, just a scoring machine.
Yeah.
Can't ask for anything more than that.
Can't.
Now, Hanny, let's flip over to you. You took the win this week. Big 6-3 against Coots. Gave the shake and bake assist to John Peterson. Andy, how do we feel about this week?
Well, pretty good. It was nice getting the dub. There was a bit of a slip up though with my lineup, I believe the first or second day, but then Coots also had the same mishap, but then it was a pretty like neck to neck kind of matchup. But you know, came out with the win in the end. I was really excited. He got me on field goal percentages, rebounds, and assists, but I was able to come across too with all the other stats. So, you know, hats off to him on a good week. Let's see, who did we have that went off last night? Let's see. Watching the Sixers game yesterday, Shake Milton, who put up a pretty decent game. And then Montrezl Harrell, and then RJ Barrett, who's been pretty, you know, decent player. But in the end, I you can't put down the Nets comp or duo that I have with, you know, Irving and Harden.
No,
you know, there's been a lot of, you know, doubts with, you know, Kyrie, especially when I you know, drafted him early this season. I had some doubts because, you know, of how on and off he can be in terms of when he wants to play and the social thing, you know, and like you know, his injuries and everything like that. But he came out, man. When he balls, he balls. Like, he puts it all on there. And I was, you know, with the Harden trade in the beginning, I said, I don't know if it's going to fit. It's going to be like a toxic, you know, locker room. And unfortunately for Coots, Kevin Durant is out. But still, the
I
Nets
know that
are,
hurts.
Yeah, it, that definitely, I think, would hurt him the most. But I still feel like the dynamic, I think the Nets as a squad, if they're going to make a deep run in the playoffs. But James Harden filling that role of more of like assist kind of guy, and the Kyrie, just, you know, putting up just like a scoring machine. I do think that he's one of the generally most talented players in the league. He just, when he has the ball in his hands, he just knows how to ball and just score, man. you know.
Yeah, for sure.
Can't ask for anything else. So big week, you know, and you know, still, you know, out for the count, but it was still nice to, you know, compete. Best of luck to pull with the playoff contention situation, everything like that. So
yeah, that was fun. For sure. Yes, so sir. Daniel, could you guess who I picked for the MVP of the week this year? This time,
I'm gonna, was it?
We talked about him earlier to give you a little clue.
It was Zion.
Yeah, of course. He 61% from the field is insane. He shot 80% from the line. Had 21 boards, 12 assists, 84 points, and 84 points with just making 1 3, which is really impressive because he almost led your team in points. Solid week for him. Good win for you to pretty much finish out the season, Hanny. I know at this point, like me, doesn't really matter too much. We can, you know, wait till Miles Powell gets on the waiver wire and add him.
It's over.
It's over. But you're along for the ride, and I like getting the win over Coots to help your buddy John out. Nice.
Yeah. And it was still nice, you know, getting into that, the motion of just like looking at the waiver wires and just kind of looking at like stats of what I'm down and whatnot. So it wasn't bad. You know what I mean? It's always good to compete even when you're out for the count, you know? So
For sure. So moving along, Shokan, another win. He is currently the only team in the league with double digit win column. He takes the lead 5-4 over John and Mark. I know John and Mark are not happy about this one. This was probably the matchup they looked up for a while. Shokan's team, man. I mean, can anyone stop this guy? It's got to be like there's only Ian, Kappa are probably at this point the two that I think could knock him off. I mean, Benny, John, you guys could throw in there, and if the stats work out in your favor, for sure. But Shokan's team just looks dominant with getting Christian Wood back is really nice.
Oh, yeah.
And Russell Westbrook was actually my pick as MVP of the week. Westbrook went off. He shot 47% from the field, which we like. 76 from the line. Could be better, but it's not his worst. Here's where it gets really tough. He got 47 boards, 53 assists, 8 threes, and 113 points. The man's like a walking triple-double, and I know that's exactly why Shokan traded for him. It's worked out.
And surprisingly, too, LaMelo Ball, man, as a young guy, he's been putting up some numbers, man.
Yeah.
Who would you guys take, though, as the better Ball brother?
LaMelo.
You would take LaMelo? All right.
Yeah, it's LaMelo.
He's out, though, I think, for the season, though, isn't he?
Yeah, his wrist. That's tough. Oh, I know.
Yeah.
Shokan leans on him to get some stats a lot, and especially since he took over the starting role, he's contributed so much to the squad. Luckily, he's got Terry Rozier, who's going to get the minutes and pretty much fill in for what LaMelo does anyway. Shokan set himself up in the best way, getting both those guys, that's for sure.
He has Quickly, like the wild card down there. I had Quickly for like a couple weeks.
Right.
I couldn't take the roller coaster, man. But he's good.
Yeah, he's good. And he's been getting good amount of minutes as of lately, too.
Yeah. They finally moved on from Peyton, I think.
Yeah. About time that happened.
And then you can't also disregard Jokic, man, with the triple-double. 10 points, 10 assists, 29 points, man. This guy is just, you know.
Team's too good.
You can't, anywhere in the perimeter, on the inside. Like, he just knows how to make a play. So, props to him to, you know, with the categorizing and just like the diversifying of, you know, the roster and everything like that. So it'll be interesting to see the playoff run, you know? So,
yeah,
I agree. Let's see. Shokan would get the bye in the first round as of right now. And then if everything stands as is, he would play the winner of Benny and John and Mark. So John and Mark, hey, they might get the rematch. We might see them get the win after all. So moving forward, we're on our last matchup of the week. Benny pulls out the win 5-4.
Mm-hmm.
Not a great week statistically for Benny's team, honestly. They were only top five in two categories, and that would be free throws and blocks. And Benny's team ranked fourth in the league in both of those. So overall, I mean, wasn't a great week statistically, like I said, but luck was on his side, and he ended up getting the win after all. I think this is just a down week for Benny's team, though. What do you guys think?
It's so crazy. Joe, he put it out there, you know, his team, I feel like he deserves a lot more wins than what his record says. I mean, losing by only 5 points. Mm-hmm. I do think that Benny's team is a, you know, competitor, like in the playoff scenario. And like I said, just a competitive nature of the league. You know, you look at every team, like every, I feel like the squad had a chance of like kind of being in that playoff scenario, but it's just unfortunate that Joe was in this, you know what I mean? Predicament.
Pretty much every team. Yeah. I mean, like Kenny was saying, every team is pretty good. You know, there's really not any, I think the last couple of years, there's always been somebody that's been just the easy pencil in a W, but really this year there's not, you know?
Yeah.
So I think it's tough.
Yeah. I love that though. It just shows the competitive level of this league has been raised, and I think it's been raised for good, which I love.
And that comes with the experience too, you know, if you've been doing this for a while. So,
yeah, we've got a lot of guys in the league that have been here and done this for the past 3 years with the NBA boys. I this year has shown the talent of the league overall. Fantasy, that's for sure. So that's it for the matchups of the week. I do have like one more question probably for each of you. And then I'll leave the floor open and you guys can, you know, bring to the table whatever you'd like. Rule changes, because that's something that we are going to look forward to and talk about as a group and vote on as we get closer to next year. Hanya, I'll start with you. Is there any rule changes that you're interested in voting for next year? Anything that you want to switch up or just even put out to the league and say, hey, this is my idea?
Honestly, man, like since my first year being in the league, I don't necessarily see anything that could that I can see that might be like a change. I do just want to emphasize and say how much I do really like the categories, just sticking inside of the mindset of like, all right, who's going to score. It's just about like, all right, like I got to listen, like, look at this at like a, you know, like a big viewpoint, like, all right, I got to look at who's efficient and who's not efficient. You know what I mean?
Right.
So the standpoint, I really like this, the category setup, and I definitely want to see this like moving forward. As far as changes, I don't really see anything that could put on my standpoint. Maybe I'll think of something later, you know what I mean? But this is a great setup, man.
Yeah, that's fair. John, what about you? Anything?
I think it's pretty good. I guess the only thing I would say, maybe cut down the number of waiver pickups per week. I feel like 7 seems a little high, but I think it functions pretty well as it is, honestly.
Yeah, that's interesting. That's something that hasn't been talked about or brought up. And honestly, like, it's not a bad idea. I know some leagues, they make people pay for their waiver pickups, and, you know, every move costs you how much money. That's too much, I think. That's crazy.
Yeah, no.
Nickel and diming people to just grab somebody off the waivers. But,
yeah
I mean, if you can add 7 players in a week, it does get you a lot of chances. And then
yeah.
I like the waiver pickups, though.
Yeah.
I like them though. I mean, it just gives you a chance to like diversify and everything like that. Cause you're always going to have that core, the 75% of your squad that's always going to be there. But the 25% is when you mix and match like the waivers. And if you're staying in tune with the league and seeing those players that like, that have those great nights and gradually get better, I think it adds more like, you know, like flavor and like spice and variety and everything like that. So I don't see an issue with it, but I mean, to each their own, you know what I mean? So,
yeah. For sure. Yeah. cool. Well, that's everything I got on my end. John, let's start with you. Anything you want to say to the league?
Oh man. Yeah. I didn't have any prepared statements, man. I mean, all I can say is, look at what, Oral Roberts has done in the tourney. You know, they're coming in as a low seed. I'd be coming in as a low seed in the playoffs. You know, I could be dangerous. You know, I could be dangerous. You never know.
Yeah, I love that. If you could get Anthony Davis back, man, that could change the world.
Yeah, exactly. Once he comes back, you know, I feel like I can beat pretty much anybody in there. So we'll see.
Yeah, definitely. And right now, to talk about that with the playoffs, right now, if everything stands as still, you'd be playing Kappa in that first round, which is a tough task.
Yeah, I feel like almost every loss I've had this year has been four or five. Let me actually check on that. But yeah, I feel like every loss has been super close. Yeah. Yeah, I think that, yeah, there's 1-3-6 to Ian. Mm. But yeah, literally everything's been 4-5. So I've been right there with like every team in the league. So,
right. You know, so you're not out of it by any means.
No, definitely not. I think it's just it's a toss up, really, because I feel like I always win four categories. It's just the question of getting that one more.
Yeah, that's the story of my season as well. I had my four, and I was always trying to go for five, and couldn't always get it done.
Yeah.
Well, best of luck to you, John, for the rest of the season. Super excited to see you in the playoffs. Just got to finish it out this week, man. You're on your way. Daniel, what about you?
Henny Hand is here to stay. That's it.
Yeah. Good, man. We can count on you next year.
Marsh. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. This is good experience, you know, to, you know, honor to be with the City Boys, and you know, just some good times, good things to come ahead, you know.
Nice. Yes, love it. Short, to the point, clean, crisp. I love it, man. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm glad that we can, you know, rely on it for next year. You know, as a commissioner standpoint, I was texting with Benny on the day that we did draft, and you know, Benny told me, hey, so-and-so's out, so we got to find somebody else. And we're like freaking scrambling, and I don't want to have to deal with that again. So I'm glad that you're ingrained in the league now, and you're here to keep the tradition going. So I appreciate it.
Yes, sir.
Cool. Yeah. Well, I'd say that's everything, guys. That's it. This is our end of our 10th episode. Thanks to you guys for coming on. Thanks to all the listeners that are tuning in to this point.
Thanks for having me, man.
For sure. It's been a crazy year.
Yeah.
It's been a crazy year. I'm glad that we were able to get this started during this horrible, horrible past year.
And you know what's crazy? We ain't even done yet. We got more to go.
True. We're not even done yet. I'm still planning out what I want to do for the playoffs. Might get another episode or two in there, and keep an eye on your inboxes, because might shoot you a message. that could be for anyone listening right now. All right, boys. Well, I'll let you get to it. Enjoy the rest of your Monday night for the last hour we have left.
Yeah.
And we'll talk soon.
All right, boys. Appreciate it, man. Thank you.
You got it. See you guys.
All right, peace, man.